When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This video is brought to you by a product I use weekly, Harry's.
Jump into episode 8!
All right. And Jin, what did you think?
That is me.
What did you think? Episode 8?
Another incredible episode. Again, yeah. I just love how much tension there was without any actual violence being done just through the dialogue. And again, the facial emoting that was just so... excellently portrayed by all the actors, and the dialogue was so well done. Also, too, a couple times, just I had the feels going. I mean, not only from just the characters and what they were feeling and the emotions going on, but the actors, again, the emoting and their portrayals of these characters. Just I was so in the moment with them. Also, too, I just love this back and forth we got with Torunaga. I know we always say he's a master tactician strategist, which he is, but I love that the show always does this good job of like, is this part of the plan? No, it's not. Yes, it is. It's like it's always back and forth as an audience member. If you haven't watched the original show or you haven't read the book and you have no, and this is like a first time, I love stuff that is unpredictable in a satisfying way, story-wise and character-wise. Again, it's just done so damn well. Mm-hmm. Also, too, it paves the way when you do eventually rewatch it. Like, this really was like set it up and it nuances it in ways to where you're watching like, okay, I can see little seeds here that they sprang in here that like it's subtly done, but still in a way like it's still so good and unpredictable. But I love that they always have you on the edge of your seat, like, oh, where's this going? But it's always, you know, it's going to be done in a way that is going to be, again, appealing, satisfying, and done in a dramatically epic way.
100%.
So, that was good. I don't remember, again, you guys will have to let us know, because it's been a while, I feel like, since we saw, was it the Tycho's wife, Dioin. Yeah. I don't remember the last time we saw her, so that was definitely a little bit of a whoa, I didn't expect that with the whole stroke. And then that whole scene again, just this was a very emotionally not exhausting, I won't say that, because I was just again so into it. I would just say like dramatically emotional, impactful episode, as all the episodes are. Just that scene with her and Ochiba.
Yeah,
that was such a great scene. I love that some of that dialogue. And she said, like, you know, that I figured you would be the last one I'd seen, like, you know, tell our son to look for me in the other world or whatever the lines were.
Yeah, perfect just, world. Yeah, whatever just, they say.
And also, too, I found it very fascinating when John Blackthold, when I saw
is your biography.
Now I'm actually in the moment talking about myself. No, when John Blackthorne, I know I'm like getting too far ahead. John Blackthorne
go
saw,
off road, baby.
Yes, exactly. When John Blackthorne saw, I guess they said there's 6 members left. By the way, let us know in the comments how many were, other than the guy who got boiled in the soup cauldron, how many were there? Because they, according to them, they said now
it
there's only 6.
Seem like a ton when we
it felt like
a handful, and it's like a smaller handful.
Right.
Now.
For some reason, I thought there was like 10 or 11, but again, that was episode 1 or 2. It's been a while, but let us know in the comments because you guys are, you know, so on it. But we found out there's about 6 of them left. But again, that whole scene, again, emotionally just being driven into me, just like, wow, like. It was interesting to see the contrast between the two characters. Like, I don't recognize you anymore. And same thing with Blackthorne towards him. Like, he doesn't recognize him. It's like different purposes now. He's a different man. And also, too, like, who the hell are you? I forgot the pilot, as he calls him. But
he keeps calling him that.
Yeah. And like,
because you forget that, like, those guys aren't all British. Like he calls him out for like, you know, you're the first Englishman out this way, you know, trying to carve your own path or like, you know, once our actual captain, you know, did what he did, you know, we could have just gone home, but you had to follow your ambition or whatever. And yeah, it's, I think it is interesting to note because you have the Portuguese, you have the English in Blackthorne, and then you have these other like Scandinavian characters and stuff like that. And yeah, it's interesting to be reminded of that, especially because, yeah, it's like he's been through so much during this time while they have as well, I'm sure. But it feels like when we get here that they've been kind of just pocketed off to the side to just sort of maintain and just be who they are. It feels like they haven't changed a lick since they've been off camera much.
Yeah.
Since the beginning of the show. I'm sure, you know, there's maybe something in wait, but it doesn't seem like we're going to spend too much time on it. But right. Yeah, like really watching that thing when Alvito comes back.
Yes.
I forget what they call him in Japanese because they have like a little moniker for him. But yeah, when he comes back and he has that confrontation about like, hey, you know, I'm not in Ishido's pocket anymore. And you certainly seem to have adapted to the culture. You know, like, are you going to go back to your crew like that? And that little, you know, sort of laying of the seed that like, oh, yeah, like you have changed. And even though you don't belong here necessarily, you have acclimated far beyond your peers, and in a way that is going to make, I think, life kind of interesting and odd to behold for at least what's left for Blackthorn in this, because yeah, he's very much an outsider in Japan. He's very much an outsider within these structures, these systems that hold the society up. And yet he's also far removed now from his own, you know, culture of origin and way of doing things. And even the way, like, I like that it doesn't have to even be a joke, like that he does make the crack about, oh, I can smell, you know, what's his name from, you know, here. But even so, like, aside from that, it does sort of in that way kind of punctuate like, oh, yeah, like even what a small thing like that, like he's even sort of taken aback at a smell he probably wouldn't have even noticed before,
right.
That's like a sign, a signifier, and you can see, I love that, like, little body language before the guy even comes out. He can just hear them causing a ruckus and he doesn't even really want to go take that walk until the guy stumbles out and is like, hey, is that you? You know? And so, yeah, I think his growth and his journey and the rock in a hard place he finds himself between is interesting because, yeah, you have somebody like Alvito, who he's been very much at odds with. He's very much not inclined to ally with the Catholics. And yet Alvito, for as cunning as he is, well within, you know, sort of the history of the church at this time, he does seem more pragmatic, as I think you kind of pointed out during the episode. He's a bit more plugged into the reality on the ground of where we are, and he seems to have an actual eye for like what's going on politically and how he can, you know, use that to advance, you know, the church's interests. And so, yeah, watching those different moments where he has to talk to, you know, Toranaga and pitch his piece, and, you know, that whole kind of,
that was great.
Yeah, just that bit, you know, where the ally, like when he makes her translate on his behalf, yeah, because he's, yeah, like, no, you know, you've crossed the line and I don't want to ally with you anymore. Like, so many, again, great little flourishes and again, uses of the translation as a motif rather than just as a delivery system of information.
For sure. Also, too, that was kind of a callback when he said I could smell them, like, because he hadn't bathed in a while, Blackthorn, and sure. Mariko was like, can you please bathe or something like that. So I kind of felt that was a little bit of a callback also to Blackthorn, because, you know, he's changed a lot of his ways and grown as a character.
Yeah.
Also, it was interesting to see kind of the divide with Omi, is that his name? Right?
The nephew of Yabushige.
Yeah. That was interesting to see, too. It's like, because again, Toranaga is playing this game of shoots and ladders and chess. So it's interesting to see.
Picture,
yeah, man. Yeah. But again, Hiromatsu, is that his name?
Yeah, his, like,
I mean,
his right hand man.
Yeah,
there.
I mean, you know that, God, this guy, dude, has been his right hand man since they were young ones.
That hurt.
Yeah, no, that did hurt. And but there was, I mean, he's bound by honor and duty and to his friend, and there was a purpose for why he did that. As horrific and sad as that was, there was a purpose and a reason for it. And I mean, respect, damn, to make your son do that. That was a very impactful moment. Again, there's so many on this show. It's just, it's incredible. But yeah, that was incredible too. The, with Alvito. Like I said, he's very level-headed. That scene with him and Torinaga, you're like, no, we're not allies anymore. You're going to Mariko. You're going to translate for him. I also loved some of the scenes with Buntaro and Mariko. I love those scenes as well because I know kind of, at least from my end, I'm not going to speak for you. Like I had mentioned, like he's being extremely cold towards her. And like I had to be, he has been, but I had to be corrected in the comments too. And I kind of watched one of the episodes back. I'm like, that's true, but she also is not very warm towards him either.
Well, yeah, it's the acknowledgement that this may not be just only his fault for being a jerk or something. Yeah. But yeah, it was a complex back and forth that they have.
And again, while I do love the relationship between her and myself, and I do hope maybe we'll see something come about that more. We shall see. It was nice and sweet to see Buntaro try and, you know, be sweet towards him, make the tea. But then, and that whole sentiment about, hey, we're kind of already doomed here.
Yeah.
Let's go into the afterlife as husband and wife. You know what I mean? That was an interesting sentiment.
Yeah, like achieve this peaceful release together, this blissful union that we could never somehow, you know, click together here on the mortal plane. Like, really, really striking, really touching, really sad.
And her response was interesting.
Oh, sure. I mean, I mean, you remember, because part of you in those moments does kind of feel for Buntaro, and you see him more in this episode than any other up till now, you know, in a much more vulnerable, soft, and human light. And you can feel, even though everyone is still quite restrained, just how, like, you can feel like the almost, not like a little boy, but there's just something like much less, you know, outwardly prickly than he often puts forth. You know, there's something that clearly wants this warmth and this closeness and this release. And yeah, like I felt for him because you could tell in these little moments like, oh, man, this guy's got it bad. Yeah. And there's just nothing you can do. And that whole thing she said, especially after everything she's been through and being at times feeling like she's been forced to live when she would much rather have some kind of honorable death.
Right.
Than to counter that basically with like, I would rather live forever than die here this way with you.
Yeah, you absolutely. Know? Totally agree.
Thrilled to be partnering with a brand I've been using for nearly 2 years now, and that's Harry's Razors. I'm generally more drawn to anything that goes against the norm, and Harry's does just that in the grooming world. They saw the high prices in the industry and decided to blaze their own trail with quality and affordability. I keep a beard, but whenever you see these cheeks and the neck clean, then that's the work of Harry's right there. Keeps my wife happy, and Harry's makes it effortless. They're precision blades that cut smoothly with less drag, making every shave satisfying. And yes, it's versatile for other areas too, you know what I mean? So as a Harry's devotee, I can vouch for their value. You can experience unparalleled comfort and quality in your grooming routine where exceptional craftsmanship meets affordability, making a smart choice for a top-notch shave without breaking the bank. Their kits and value packs for shaving are unbeatable, but Harry's is not just about shaving. Again, they offer top quality, thoughtfully designed grooming products, including shampoo, conditioner, and amazing body wash without the premium price. Quality, affordability, that's a thesis of this. Now these I actually pulled right from my own bathroom. I regularly use their 5-blade razor with a nice weighted handle and their foaming shave gel. Man, this it is a game changer. I just like the feel of it. Now I have to commit to keeping this in my hand the whole time because I'm not going to go to the bathroom in the middle of shooting this. The handles, they feel perfectly balanced, and the razor's sleek design is a classy addition to my bathroom. And the quality of the shave, unparalleled. Gotta reiterate, key part of my weekly grooming ritual because their entire range of products fits seamlessly into my routine. Definitely no reshoots here. Their German engineer blades are durable, and refill plans are economical. Rarely use the word economical, but I'm using it now. Plus, their commitment to high customer satisfaction and no-risk trial makes Harry's a no-brainer. This gel really does feel good. Let me say once more, choosing Harry's means quality and affordability. By grabbing your $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/rejects, you're not only getting a great deal, but you're also supporting this channel. That's harrys.com/rejects for your $3 trial set. Stay sharp and embrace the extraordinary with Harry's. Till next time, Reject Nation. Till next time.
I found it also fascinating there at the end how Torinaga paid respects to his son, which obviously we saw at a distance in that epically scoped shot that he did, where we could see the fire pyro going off.
Funeral pyre.
Thank you. And then also, too, we saw that him and Hiromatsu basically gave him more time with the 49 days with his son. And then I don't know how many more days are granted with Hiromatsu. But again, he's saying, you know, basically what you said, this will not be in vain. Also of note, I kind of mentioned it during the reaction. We didn't really, I don't believe at all, we saw the brother, half-brother.
Yeah.
Right? So it's, I'm interested when he comes back, what the interactions are going to be with him and Torunaga again. He did not, you know, he was not the one that ended the life of Torunaga's son.
Nagakado, no.
Thank you. So he was just there. But yeah, I'm very curious their interactions or where he was in this episode exactly. So
I think that's a fascinating thing because part of me didn't. I was never missing him. Like
oh,
I was
no,
never.
I'm not saying I was
never sitting
him,
here going like, "Where is he?"
No,
like
there's. I was a, just curious.
No. I think it's a good thing to point out because I think it is an interesting thing to do, and I think it's something that builds that curiosity about what the truth really is. And as you pointed out, and you know, a lot of people in the comments have echoed, like there is this sort of lingering question about because clearly, as evidenced by this episode, we need to go so very far to convince everybody, you know, and to test how dedicated everybody is. You know, it does beg the question, is this all part of a bigger, more elaborate ruse? And is this, you know, an attempt to weed out further, you know, the people in our own home camp who might be plotting against us and then take the fight to Osaka, then enact Crimson Sky, et cetera, et cetera. Right. And I think, you know, on the one hand, I could certainly see how we might reconnect with him and maybe they'll draw out a moment of tension with that. You know, this could be some kind of greater, luring out of, you know, the wolves in sheep's clothing or whoever else. And I imagine that it could be a nice little subversion on top of subversion because we meet him. He's very jolly. He seems like, I'm your goofy half brother who's just out here chilling. And then we think, oh, maybe he's got this turn where he really wants some kind of mantle that he feels like he's owed or some greater place in history. Or maybe, you know, further down the line, he's going to try and secure that place in history by backing his brother and by, you know, I feel like we are peering into a time where you would probably have to carry out some kind of public ruse, you know, in a situation like this to sway just, what the portrait of allegiances is
it's
and
gonna,
all that stuff.
It's going to be interesting to say, see, rather. And the last thing I want to say, the whole Ishiro and Ochiba thing with him wanting to marry her and then kind of fading to black before all that happened.
Yeah.
Interesting to see where that's going. If they did get married, what's going to happen with that?
And if they're going to be able to sway her in any way. I thought that was a super compelling argument too.
Is there any way I can make her my ally? Torunaga was asking Mariko. I loved all that. Again, just the emotional drive in this episode. And also, too, I love that shot where we got to see Jin and Kiku and all of them looking at where they're
I don't really know what it'll be called, but where their protected space will be.
And then we see how Vito's like, we're all going to be next to each other. Yes.
This prime real estate
next
door to y'all.
But again, seeing it all done before all the real estate goes in, I thought that was like the scope of everything looked pretty cool before everything gets built.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
great up. Again, this is why I love this show so much. Like, when there's no violence, like, it's still so damn epic. And there's so much emotional drive and depth in this show. And the dialogue is so good. The acting is so good. And again, we know there's an epic battle coming up. I'm so I'm so ready.
Yeah, but
they built it up.
I appreciate, we know it's coming. We know that shit's going to pop off, to put it bluntly.
Right.
But I like that even this deep into the season, even during an episode like this, we can pivot. We can do something that is still just as tense, but it's all the debate.
For sure.
It's all the real whittling down. It's like you feel the burning down of that stick of time as they're like that last moment, that last big scene together where they're challenging Torunaga. And, you know, it's coming right down to it. Everyone's like, you either are going to sign this pact with me and we're all going to march to Osaka and surrender together, or, you know, and to have that showdown between him and you're better than me than this in Hiramatsu, like, was so gripping and touching and harsh and heavy, and like just the expressions being traded back and forth, the focus on their eyes, the things being said versus the things being felt or at least expressed physically, and the like, I love, I guess, to sum this whole thing up, because we're on a bit of a time crunch today, I love that this episode really does, like, you still have that feeling deep down where you're like, Torunaga's working something. He's got something he's going to figure this out with. And they go very far to convince you, well, like, maybe not. And in these moments, I'm like, I still feel like at the deepest part of me that this is all kind of part of a plan.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate that it also feels like this could be all part of a big debate that is constantly changing and constantly kind of living out phases.
Yeah.
Just like the bookends of this with him watching from afar and letting all the chips fall and then finally paying respect to Nagakato in silence alone. Like, just so many excellent flourishes and bits of drama and craftsmanship and performance across this episode, the show, etc.
For sure.
No Fuji either today.
I was about to say perfect episode, except no. I was about to say perfect episode, except for no Fuji.
Next week it'll
but
be.
But she
a
was mentioned
episode,
in it, so I guess it's the next best.
Only
thing.
Fuji next week.
Yes, the whole episode.
Well, all right, gang.
Let us know your thoughts about episode 8 and what you're looking most forward to in the last two episodes. Yeah. And do you want to hear the only Blackthorn voice in episode 10? Just kidding. I'm not going to do it. You'll get too
we'll
sick
talk
of it.
Extra long next time, rooted into your brain.
It's only done well when it's sparingly done.
Nah. The rule of comedy is more is better. Bigger is better.
All right, John, I'll have to remember that. Thank you, my friend.
In fact, just live your life as John Blackthorne. Thank you guys for tuning in. Really appreciate you loving this journey. Cannot wait for the final two episodes. I am starting to panic now because I'm like, I can't believe we're already here.
I know. It went by quick.
Absolutely.
Like the show, it's so well-paced.
Yeah, absolutely is. Thank you for making this such a lovely, rich experience. And we'll catch you next week. Be well, people.